now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Ezra Peregrine on today's show, The Coffee Break.
She's back. She's Shay Coffee. She's bringing us up to date with all that's coming up with Kent Trans Pride, as well as her brand new Shout Out insert called The Coffee Break.
Plus, Trans Pride Bristol have moved their event. They are live in the studio with us to bring us up to date.
All today, right here on Shout Out. Blum, bum, bum, bum. Hello, everyone. How are we all?
I'm very well, thanking you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Ooh, good Lord.
I'm good.
That's very loud.
That is very loud. Your clicks, they sound like they're in the room because they are.
I quite jazzy, so I'd add a few jazz clicks rather than bum bum bums.
Oh, I don't know.
We quite like a bum bum bum. Bum
bum bum. Speak for yourself. Bum bum.
It's just gone.
I'm
welcome back.
Yeah,
after
thanks.
A few weeks.
I thought I was here last week, so I wasn't here last week, but I was here the week before. Is that right?
It was literally me and Tara again last week.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Pardon
so I'm sorry, Terry. We did our best with the news. We're not the best news week, just me and Terry.
I have to say, you did get through it, and congratulations.
I like that level of praise. You got through it. You read the words.
Yes.
Well done.
Almost.
Well, it's just me tonight. I've decided that I'm going to read the news by myself.
Oh, is it just the air show?
Just me. Yeah. Just me. No, not me all night. Just my
because
news.
Because we turn everything else off. And,
no, thanks. Don't do that to me again. That was traumatising.
I know you well enough to know you could talk for the next 58 minutes and keep everyone entertained.
I don't know what about, but I could find something, you know. Don't now make me think of something because it's not going to happen.
So you could go right back to your roots when you started. Like, you could do dinosaur tentacle porn.
I could
do
that, yeah.
I mean, that was how you got introduced to Shout Out.
Well, no. Listeners, no, it wasn't. I got introduced to Shout Out because... No, I got introduced to Shout Out because Terry asked me to come on to talk about my work. So I did that and then it just sort of went awry because I hadn't met any queer people since moving to Bristol. I was very excited to meet queer people because the only people I had socialised with were people from Slimming World because I didn't know how to make friends apparently in my 30s. I was like, how can I make friends? I know.
It does.
Okay, just Slimming
World.
And then had an argument about bacon and avocados and never went back. So that's how I ended up here.
Nature's Kinder Egg.
What's that? Avocados?
Avocados.
Oh, well, I was thinking bacon, is it?
Yeah, they lack variety in the toys though.
I had avocado tonight. I do like. Steph can't stand avocado.
Oh, I love avocado.
Yeah, I do. I made a chili con carne. Don't know why I said it in French accent. Nice. It's not French, is it?
you do know that con carne means with meat.
Okay, I had a chili non a chili
con carne. Chili non carne.
I couldn't get that out. Like me in my teen years. I was stuck. Yeah, it was very nice though. We had it two nights
in
a row.
I didn't know that avocado went in it though. I've never put avocado
in. I like
in
to top it
honey.
With sour cream and avo.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I don't actually like guacamole.
I love the way you call it avo.
Yeah,
it's
avo.
So millennial.
Yeah, I love a bit of avs. Yes.
Was it smashed avo?
No, I don't like smashed avo. I like sliced avo, prettily put on the top, like a little flour with salt and pepper, and sometimes balsamic glaze if I'm feeling very fancy.
Balsamic glaze. Although it's really weird if you go and you two have been to Italy. I don't know if you taste it when you're over there. The balsamic you get over there is nothing like the stuff you get here.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Makes your mouth go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, very tasty.
Why don't you like avocado?
It's just a tasteless, which is incorrect.
I don't like either the taste or...
You don't like slimy things in
it's
your mouth.
Also... Yeah. No, you got it.
Do you not like bananas?
She loves bananas.
Oh, I love bananas.
People who don't like slimy things tend not to like bananas.
They cannot be too ripe, though.
I often get a text message that actually says green bananas.
Yeah, but I don't like the green bananas. They have to just be coming off the green into the yellow zone.
Yeah.
So they're firm... I don't like salt.
Talking of greens, they did well.
Anyway, We have a guest later on the show. We need some time left for
That's absolutely correct.
We'll come back to your firm green bananas in a bit. In the meantime, though, shall we find out what Shay's been up to?
Let's
have a listen to this.
Okay, guess who I've got back? It's Shay Coffey. Welcome back to Shout Out, Shay. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, yeah, despite all the news that's coming out. Now, before we get on to the events that you've got coming up and what you've got planned, we've also got something that's really good for the Shout Out listeners, and you're back with a new pod for Shout Out.
I am. It's going to be called, I think we're going to go with Shay Coffey's Break. And we are going to be looking at the world of LGBT, particularly trans rights in America and further afield. We did a few shows last year. We're going to be back with talking about particularly trans issues around the world.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. So we can keep up to date with what's ever happening in the southern, northern, eastern or western hemispheres. Love it. Love it.
Well, there's certainly plenty of stories, both good and bad.
Yeah, talking of a bad one, what are your thoughts on this week's news on hormone treatment being withdrawn for children under 18?
It's bad, isn't it? It's a mistake. And the reason it's a mistake is because lots of us who are working in the field of trans healthcare and trans activism know full well that some people, some parents will do what their children needs. And that means going down other routes. Those other routes won't be monitored, won't be tested. They won't have clinical experts to hand. And we are pushing people more and more to the dark web and to unofficial sources of things that we don't know what they are.
Mm.
You can't just remove young people's access to these things, which is apparently what we're looking at. And I just, more and more, we are seeing less and less safe routes.
Yeah, it is very odd that countries like Spain and Germany have got a lot of information about this. And so countries across the EU are still supplying, with the help of GPs and specialists, to under 18s. I'm not getting personally how we're not using Europe-wide data and we're restricting ourselves to their stuff that they're saying is not available in this country, but it's been happening for a long, long time.
The simple fact of the matter is that you look at the CAS report and you look at how it was compiled and you look at other studies that have come along since that they want to denigrate trans healthcare, and it's always this... Well, we don't have a control group. Well, of course you don't. You don't have a control group of children taking not hormones. But we have the information, as you say, at hand ourselves, from Spain, from Germany, and they don't have a massive problem. They don't, in their press, seem to find all these children being trans by parents or society or social media. So why do we think that's going to happen here, but it doesn't happen elsewhere?
I think also, what are your thoughts on the EU about to follow the Indian Supreme Court and saying that trans women are women? Do you think that's going to make it very awkward for this government when it's trying to get closer to the EU?
Yes, is a simple answer. We are leaning more and more towards America and further away from our allies in Europe. And we seem to be wanting to go down a route that we are just going to denigrate minorities, and we are going to damage them because they can be damaged. And the spreading of fear is not going to help anybody anywhere. And as I keep saying, trans people and the way trans people are being treated is simply the canary in the coal mine for what comes later. And we've seen it. We know what's happening. We know that this is about body autonomy, and rights will be stripped.
Yep, absolutely right, Shay. Agree with you. Now, before we run out of time, we need to leave you enough time for people to celebrate, and you've got some events coming up.
Yeah, last year I was rather unwell, and the NHS were absolutely fantastic for me. And while recovering, I thought, do you know what? This isn't the story that We hear all the time that the NHS hate us and there's no help there. So while recovering, and I needed to make some trouble somewhere, we decided to go down the route of setting up Trans Pride Kent, and simply to allow the people of Kent access to information about trans people, and to allow trans people access to information that they may not be getting about healthcare, housing, hate crime, you know, legal services, what your rights are in business. And more we see these lies coming in, and it's just not true. And also, the bits that are true aren't necessarily welcomed. Look at the WI. Look what's happened there. Look at Girl Guiding. So we want to celebrate trans people. We want to celebrate the allies. But we also want to put on a pride that is grassroots and going to put trans people in contact with their allies. Allies in contact with people who can help educate them, but also people who can help trans people with the blockages that we know are there in the healthcare system and all the rest of it. And I've been very, very lucky. It's been really warmly received. It's going to be in Canterbury on the 28th of March. It's at Westgate Hall. Tickets are free. You have to register. We have Trans in the City coming along. We have LGBT Switchboard coming along. We have Anne Healthcare coming along. We have the Trans Legal Clinic coming along. We have smaller Kent organisations coming along. We have some of the Prides coming along. It's going to be an amazing day. We have a few queer-owned businesses who will be selling things, but they have contributed towards the cost of putting this on. And I should give a massive shout-out to the Canterbury Women's March, who donated money to get this set up in allyship of trans women and men. And I should also give a shout-out at this stage to Anne Healthcare, who have been absolutely fantastic and also sponsored the event. But it is the start of something we hope that's going to move around Kent. It's the first countywide Trans Pride, so it's not going to be based in one place all the time. Trans people historically have less access to cars, less access to public transport, more frightened of going out. So hopefully in years to come, we can bring it to trans people at various locations in Kent.
Wow. Now, that I love. That is a really good idea, Shay. And it sounds like you've got it all sorted.
Well, we've hopefully done our best. I mean, we're seeing a lot of individual tickets being booked. So on the day, there will be buddies who will go around with you, introduce you to stall holders, keep you company if that's what you want. There's a quiet zone. There is the most fantastic bar and snack place. So hopefully it'll be a really good day.
Excellent. Right, let's move on to the future then. So what is in your future that you've got organised, Shay?
We are hoping to do essentially what we're terming rippling out events across Kent throughout the year. The first one is going to be in May, and it's a little bit different. It's going to be held at Spotlight Theatre Chatham. And we have the excellent Danny Meller, who is an actor who's been in Coronation Street and various other things, coming along to perform his one-man play, Undermined. And we are holding essentially what we're calling a protest weekend, where you can come along and you can learn the history of not only LGBT protest, but workers' protest, civil rights protest. And Danny's play centres on the miners' strike of 1984 and the battle for all grief. It's an absolutely fantastic place to start if you don't know much about activism that involves protest. After that, I can't really tell you too much. We're in talks with Lush. We're hoping to pull off somewhat of a stunt there. But in November, we will be back at Rochester Cathedral for the second TDOR held at Rochester Cathedral. Last year we did it, and it was the first time a TDOR had been held, which is Trans Day of Remembrance, had been held in a UK cathedral. And we thought that was really a breakthrough, that we were seen as significant enough and acknowledged that the losses are there, that a cathedral wanted to hold a remembrance service. And it was done absolutely beautifully.
Wow, that's incredible, Shay. You're on it.
I like to keep busy. I like to keep reform on their toes. And obviously, Kent is the cutting edge of those lovely people. Do you know what? I have fun doing it.
Good. Well, I'm glad you do. Yeah. Yeah. There's not many that can put up with reform constantly battering the trans community.
What can I say? The the leader of Kent County Council and I have a special relationship.
I can imagine you do. Very special. Right, now, before we leave, website addresses, social medias, so that people can find out how to get tickets for the event you've got coming up and to keep an eye on what you're doing in the future, Shay.
We're currently, it's transpridekent.com, and we are Transpride Kent on social media. Just log on, get your ticket. It's free. Come along, talk to us. We're looking for people to join in. We're looking for people with ideas. We're looking for people who just need community. You can find us on Instagram with Transpride Kent. You can find us on Facebook with Transpride Kent. There is TikTok. I don't know how that works. Again, Transpride Kent. Get involved. It's not my thing. It's trans people of Kent's thing.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. I don't get on with TikTok. In fact, I don't even get on with Instagram. It really annoys me. Things move on too quick.
We are very, very lucky that we have someone who's younger and understands how these things work.
Indeed. That's what I need. Shay Coffey, I'm really looking forward to your upcoming pod series on Shout Out. And you take care, my love, and good luck with the events.
Thank you very much, and we'll speak soon.
Indeed.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
There you go. That is Eins Zwei Drei. And that's by Look Mum, New Computer. That is this year's Eurovision entry, that one.
Is it really?
Yes.
Is that the actual track?
This is the actual track that will represent the UK this year. Yeah.
So is it a band or one single person?
It's a chap, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he calls himself Look Mum, No Computer. Made his fame on YouTube doing lots of electronic stuff using like old like 80s, 90s retro.
That's just quirky enough. It might do it. You know, it might sort of get us up.
Well, if it gets more than nil point.
I like the fact that I thought the whole song was called Eins Zwei Drei, Look Mum, No Computer, because that's how much I knew. Although that would be quite cool to
I did play one of his songs the other week.
Yeah, yeah. I think you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is his kind of style. And I listened to some of the others and they were okay. And then you hear that one, you're like, that's Europop.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I think one of my favourite entries, it didn't happen though because of COVID, I believe, was Daudi Freyr, the Icelandic techno pop.
Oh, love that.
And his whole genre, all of his songs have been good. I've listened to everything he's ever done, and he started off in his bedroom. And he's ended up doing really well, and he's toured the world.
I'm on Fire Saga.
Fire Saga.
Fire Saga.
Yeah. We love that film, don't we? With Will.
It's loved and hated, isn't it?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it came out at a time where I just wanted something uplifting.
It's very silly.
It is very silly, but he's a gift.
I love the little elves that live in the... And you never ever see them.
Oh, no, you do. But no,
it is
insinuated
that one of them murders one of the baddies.
Yeah, yeah. That is strongly insinuated. Yeah. And until then, you weren't a fan of Will, were you?
No, but what changed my mind is how he reacted to his best mate.
Yes. Yeah, who is a trans woman. And that documentary is wonderful.
Yes, that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
It was really profoundly moving, but also just the laughter that they have between them and the history. I mean, it's like 30, 40 years of friendship. It's a long time to be best friends with someone. Yeah.
But Will was so supportive.
Yeah.
You couldn't have wished for a better friend.
No, you really, really couldn't. Mm. And I wish everybody was like that when people, share.
Yeah,
who
that
they
would
are.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it?
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're all lovely people.
I am. Thanks.
You are. Oh, right. Oh, I'm sorry. I see you again, is it? Right, I see.
We are all lovely people.
So how's your green banana?
She only had that at lunchtime. Don't have them in the evening, do you, Steph?
No.
Banana's that would be
not,
silly. Sorry,
that, not my go-to for the evening. A bar of chocolate is my go-to.
But people have said that it's strange that we have omelette for dinner.
What's wrong with omelette?
But apparently omelette should be a lunchtime thing, but we like omelette for dinner, don't we?
I'm busy having fruit and yogurt.
Yeah, you're creeping on.
Well,
Well, not green. I don't like green, but it has to be perfectly
I love the fact
yellow.
That if we say that, we get corrected every time. So you like green bananas, no. right? No. Sorry.
Jeez
Louise.
This is one show we won't be listening to again.
Oh, I don't know. So. I don't know. I think it's good to have multiple conversational topics.
Yes, especially bananas.
Yeah.
Green bananas?
You're too close for that, Terry.
And also, it's good to laugh.
Is it?
Yes. There's a lot going on at the moment, and I've definitely been laughing less, so I think it's nice.
You always laugh when you come here.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, quite a lot, to be fair. And then I get in the car and there's just nothing. I don't laugh until next Thursday.
That's true, she doesn't laugh.
I'm just packing this for this 1 hour.
She's so miserable at home.
Yeah, I don't talk.
Asleep
in
the car.
That bit's true. Yeah, I do like a car nap. I don't know how, though, because I feel like I'm in the car with Lewis Hamilton when I sit next to you.
Anyway, before you two get into a domestic, should we find out what's going on in the
world? Oh, go on then.
Right, let's get some news headlines. Yeah.
This is Shoutout News. Welcome along.
New England NHS England pauses new cross sex hormone prescription for 16 to 17 year olds. NHS England has paused the initiation of new prescriptions of cross sex hormones for 16 to 17 year olds experiencing gender distress. The move follows the CAS review published in April 2024, which found that the evidence base for benefits and risks remains limited and often lacks long-term follow-up. Cross-sex hormones such as testosterone and estrogen can produce a significant and sometimes irreversible physical change. NHS England commissioned 10 independent evidence reviews examining mental health, quality of life and physical health outcomes for young people receiving these treatments. The reviews found insufficient high-quality evidence to determine consistent benefits or harms. Young people already on treatments will continue with clinicians reviewing their care plans. Those unable to access hormones will be offered psychological and support services through the three NHS gender clinics for children and young people. Professor James Palmer, National Medical Director for Specialised Services, said the health service had taken extreme caution in reviewing the evidence. A 90-day public consultation is now open for medical professionals, researchers, advocacy groups and the public. Trans advocacy organisation Translucent criticised the decision, calling it discriminatory and indicating it may pursue legal action.
Ukraine's Supreme Court has upheld a landmark ruling recognising a same-sex marriage as a de facto family union, which is a significant step in a country whose constitution defines marriages between a man and a woman. The case involved LGBTQ plus activists Zoran Kis and Timur Levchuk, who have lived together since 2013, held an unofficial ceremony in 2016, and married in the United States in 2021. Earlier this year, the Ukrainian Foreign Ministry refused to recognise Levchuk as Kiss's family member, preventing him from accompanying Kiss on a diplomatic posting to Israel. A district court ruled in the couple's favour last June, but the decision was appealed by a conservative group called Vsi Razom, meaning altogether. The Supreme Court has now rejected that appeal, solidifying the lower court's recognition.
The Lemkin Institute for Genocide Prevention has issued its third red flag alert warning of what it describes as an escalating pattern of anti-trans persecution in the United States. The organisation reports that anti-trans legislation has intensified nationwide, with 2025 marking the sixth consecutive record-breaking year for bills targeting trans people. According to the Institute, the number of anti-trans bills introduced has risen by more than 600% since 2021, with 125 such bills passed in 2025 alone. These include restrictions on gender-affirming healthcare, bathroom bans, and measures limiting recognition of trans identities on official documents. The alert states that these developments form part of what the Institute identifies as the early to middle stages of genocidal process. Centred on the denial and erasure of identity, it also warns that disinformation campaigns and hostile political rhetoric are contributing to a climate that places trans people at heightened risk of violence and discrimination. The Lemkin Institute is calling for international attention and pressure to prevent further escalation.
The gay magazine Instinct reports that no major reforms to Catholic Church policy on LGBTQIA plus people are expected in the near future. A forthcoming biography, Leo XIV, the biography written with Vatican journalist Elise Ann Allen, includes the Pope's reflections on sexuality, gender and the deep divisions within the Church. Pope Leo XIV suggests that any shift in Church teaching must begin with changes in people's hearts and minds, acknowledging the polarisation surrounding LGBTQ plus inclusion.
The Sydney Star Observer reports that the community gathered this week to farewell drag icon Maxie Shield, whose real name was Christopher Elliott. She passed away in February at the age of 51 after a battle with cancer. The service took place at Paddington Town Hall on Oxford Street, and tributes including a dedicated segment in this year's Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade. In a joint statement, Maxie's partner David and fellow queen Tora Hyman, Vanity, and Jackie St. Hyde said, "Maxie wasn't just a drag superstar. She was an icon, a worldwide superstar, a sister, a loud laugh in a quiet room, and a fierce advocate for her community."
And finally, the Radical Fairies and Queer Spirits will gather for a drumming circle ahead of the equinox full moon to welcome the arrival of spring. The event invites its participants to cast spells for the coming seasons, embracing the balance and outward-turning energy of the equinox. They gather on Saturday the 28th of March from 7pm to set up a greet and then cast a circle at 8 o'clock and then drum, dance, socialise and play through the evening. The venue is Wheatsheaf Community Hall, Wheatsheaf Lane, London, SW8 2UP. Those times again are 7 to 11pm on Saturday the 28th of March.
Well, that is Shout Out News for this week. Check our website for more news and articles of interest, and we'll see you back here next week.
For Shout Out News, this has been Terry Starr
and Ezra Peregrine.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Sam Ryder and Spaceman, which would have, I'm sure, would have won Eurovision had the Ukraine war not broken out. But
yes, good second place, wasn't it?
That was our entry for 2022. Yeah,
so. Really strong song, fantastic.
Yeah, lovely song. I love that one. So. You're not a Eurovision fan, are you?
I like a little bit of Eurovision. I like the weird ones. You've got to get a little weird.
Yes.
You know, you've got to bring out a chainsaw or something and carve someone out of a costume or something like that. You know,
so right, we know where this interview's going.
And this year at Transpired.
Jeez, I was going to go as well.
I have to say, one of my favourites is a Finnish song from the early 1970s called Hippity. Pump Pump.
The lyrics
are literally, "Let your hips go, hippity pump pump." It's brilliant.
Well, let's buy me a drink first, is what I would say to that.
Or two.
I've put a few in because obviously earlier on we had Identify Dry, which is the one that's in for this year. And I got last year's winner. It's a kind of 50-50 whether you like Eurovision or not. So we're trying to stay a little bit out of the politics. It's very difficult not to.
Yeah.
But the last year's winner, JJ, was amazing. I've got the song coming up later. So, but in the meantime, lovely Hafren is here. Welcome back to Shout Out.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here.
Yes. Now, we ought to kick off with, first of all, Transpride moving, isn't it? As in date type thing.
Yeah, thanks so much. So we historically were Transpride Southwest, now Transpride Bristol, and for several years we were based in November. We found that was quite a challenging time to hold a
cold
pride.
Cold,
wet and dark. And whilst it did provide a little bit of light in the darkness, it was presenting a lot of tough challenges, particularly on our march. So we instead wanted to move right next to Trans Day of Visibility on the 31st of March. We moved over to March, this time on the 28th, so that we can be be loud, proud and visible across the streets of Bristol.
Amazing. How many years has one here been going? I know it's kind of changed name, but it's still the same thing.
Yeah,
I remember talking to you when it started, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I have been involved for about 3 years now, but we're coming into our 10th year this year. Decade of trans pride in here in Bristol, which I think is really, really exciting. We were amongst the first shortly after Trans Pride Brighton. Trans Pride Southwest was established. So I really feel like we are a part of a kind of queer and trans history in the 21st century without bigging us up too much.
Yeah. And how has it grown in that time? Because the first one, as you'd expect, I mean, even Bristol Pride will say the same. I remember helping with the first one. By today's comparison, it was tiny.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what kind of numbers are you getting these days?
Yeah, so we've actually found that we outgrew our original venue. So Trans Pride Bristol takes place in our March in the Morning, where we have a few hundred people joining us, and we're hoping for even more this year. And we usually head over to the station on Silver Street, but actually it was too small a space for us this year, with nearly over 700 people joining our workshops, as well as coming to speak to queer businesses, support and community groups, as well as artists who are kind of vending at the event.
So
it's really, really kind of grown in scale. You know, this year as well, we've actually got a gig as well as a club night. So we're going to be having a gig with three different bands. We have been working with community groups such as the Bristol Trans Feminist Collective, the Trans Mass Meetup, and the Embley Assembly, all on different socials across the late afternoon and evening. So there's a whole host of events, not to mention the fact that actually we have up to 40 volunteers. It's an entirely voluntary-led Trans Pride. I stumbled across some of those with, you know, kind of 40 plus people all involved. So it's a really, really big operation that I kind of get to sit at the top of as one of the co-chairs.
Yeah, but if you're anything like, I mean, when we talked to Darren about the big pride, the Bristol Pride, he's like, it's a lot of hard work, but it's very rewarding as well, isn't it?
110%. I'm so glad to have had the opportunity to oversee Trans Pride, to be able to contribute in different ways. I think it has been an absolutely exhilarating project, even when it's come with hardship and difficulty and stress. I'm so glad to be able to be involved, to work with so many wonderful volunteers, all trans people with different struggles, particularly in the current environment, who kind of put in their time to contribute and help to make our event happen.
It's sad though, isn't it? It's probably needed now more than ever over the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to say, Heverin, should it be just trans people in the march?
Absolutely not. We're really welcoming, Arby, of trans people and their allies. We want to be as visible as possible. We've been making sure that we reach out to as many people as possible, old and young, of different races, different religions, different community groups, be it that you're someone who wants to support the trans community, maybe you know trans people that you love, maybe you just want to make sure that you're standing in solidarity with trans people. And so we absolutely welcome you to join us at our march, to join us at our community day. One of the things I'm really proud of as chair is that we offer an ability to be able to go and join new groups, be able to make kind of join social community. It might be your first time as a trans person at a trans event, and actually you can join community immediately. And also this year we're running a series of workshops. I think you know, people talk about the current climate, right? Like it's that sort of, you know, everyone talks about things are harder for trans people. I'd absolutely agree, and it's time to upskill ourselves. It's time ourselves as a community to really understand the nuances of the difficulties that we're facing, and also to begin to politically imagine you know, how we overcome those barriers, how we overcome the current reactionary backlash that has been dominating the UK. I think that there is nothing more powerful than the collective political imagination of trans people who stand up and say that they've had enough and that things have to change. And time and time again, queer history has shown us that, right? When people have said enough is enough, it is time to bring change. Yeah. That is exactly where we have been able to kind of bring our collective power together.
Yeah. I think because last week we had Not In Our Name.
Yeah.
So I think trans people should realise, and especially these great events that prides are being taken, put on
all over the country.
Yeah.
But you've got huge organisations of cis women backing trans people.
Absolutely.
Not in our name. And there's also big companies like Lush.
Yeah.
And that. So if you feel alone, you're absolutely not.
110%. I would completely agree with that. And I think since the Four Women Scotland versus Scottish Ministers Supreme Court ruling, you know, we've seen time and time again how many people want to stand up for trans people. For about 5 weeks in Bristol, we saw every Saturday people were out on the streets to raise their objections. We've seen the Safer Spaces Bristol campaign led by Caris Daniels, all about making sure that businesses remain trans inclusive. There is so much goodwill, particularly here in Bristol. And that isn't to deny that it isn't difficult sometimes, that it isn't still, you know, kind of, we're still facing the same kind of barriers that are seen across the country, across the world. But actually, there is so much goodwill. There is so much kind of a desire to include trans people.
How are you with the police currently? Because obviously they've got to protect you during your march.
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
What I would say is that I think it's absolutely within the right of any LGBTQ plus person or non-LGBTQ plus person, particularly anyone who's racialised, to have criticisms of the police. You know, I think that we have seen time and time again how police have let down minoritised and marginalised communities. However, we want to be able to operate to keep people safe and legally safe. You know, we've made sure to give notification to Avon and Somerset Police. And if any of you are listening, we're marching on the 28th of March. And, you know, we're really receptive to be able to have constructive conversations with all public sector workers. That might be Bristol City Council councillors, that might be healthcare professionals, that might be anyone working across housing services. I'm more than happy to speak to any individual that is serious about trans inclusion. And if that happens to be someone in Avon Somerset Police, so be it.
Well, there's two sides to it, isn't there? I mean, there's them doing the job that they're there to do, which they're always very proud they do. They do a fairly good job, especially when it's like looking after us on a march. You see them there, they're very visible. But then there's also them being included as part of the march itself. And Bristol Pride, for example, have recently forbidden them from doing so because of some of the homophobia and transphobia that we've seen from them, you know. So there are the two different sides to it.
Yeah, totally. I think that it is always worth understanding who is marching and who is self-organising to march at our Trans Pride. And I think that we're incredibly proud that we have community group after community group joining us rather than being dominated by companies or by kind of private equity of any kind. I'm really proud about the fact that our march is made up of trans youth, our march is made up of trans groups and trans social groups. I'm not particularly interested in seeing the police there. That's my own personal opinion. There might be other volunteers who have a different view, and I think that that's one of the great things about Trans Pride Bristol. We have a diverse range of views on different subjects and ideas, and even contentious ones amongst the queer community.
Yeah, I mean, it's a subject for a complete, it could be a completely different interview in itself, couldn't
certainly.
It? I mean, it's quite, I have friends who are in the police who are also gay, and they get really taught because they see it as an establishment really doing badly for us, but of course they're a part of our community and they want it to do well, you know. And
I guess I'm really conscious that the studio right now has majority white people, and I guess that our perspectives as white LGBT plus people are going to be kind of skewered very differently as well in this conversation. I don't want to get too bogged down on this. There's so much exciting things.
Pride, really,
absolutely,
aren't we,
yeah.
So, can I touch on one thing? Because you must have seen, and obviously we've got Darren coming on the show next week as well. Funding for these things has dipped big time.
Absolutely.
Has it hit you? Are you okay? Are you going to be able to carry on going for the next few years, or are you hitting a point where you're worried as well?
What I will say is that in our short and medium term, we're doing all right. I want to give a huge shout out to Bristol Beer Factory, who have just kindly donated some profits to us, as well as lots of bake sales from different kind of people who wanted to donate. There's been all sorts of different kind of ways that we've generated income. But in the long term, it's a really, really scary to map. I want to see Trans Pride survive another 10 years and another 10 years after that.
Yeah.
But funding is very competitive. There's a lot of support within the LGBT plus voluntary sector. But even then, you're competing against lots of other organisations, and you know there's simply not enough to go around. What I would say, particularly to any local businesses listening as well, you know, Pride, both Bristol Pride and Trans Pride Bristol, are really struggling to envision that long-term financial future. We want to make sure that that continues. We think that what we provide for our community and what we provide for the community here in Bristol is so essential. Everyone talks about how Bristol is so inclusive and open-minded, and it will only continue to be those things if we have access to trans prides, if we have abilities to be able to self-organise and also be able to kind of bring our communities together. Mm. So yeah, it's been particularly challenging, I will admit.
Are you charging for entry, or is it donation? Or
absolutely not. We always welcome donation. The only charged events of our programme will be our gig in the Loco Club between 7 and 9 o'clock, as well as our club night in the Loco Club at 10 p.m. until 3 a.m. Tickets are all live on Head First, and we actually have scaled ticketing as well. So we realise that trans people of colour, as well as trans people from low income backgrounds, might struggle to get tickets. We want them to still be able to celebrate with their community, and that's exactly why we offer a discounted ticket. We also have allied tickets as well. You know, we love having cisgender people at our events. I just think that you should pay a little bit more to be there. But we try
to do that with pride, shouldn't we?
But you know, in all seriousness, you know, we try and keep things as low cost and as free. There's actually a free cafe in the Trinity Centre in our community day, for instance.
But it shows you exactly why it's so difficult to get these things running, because you want to keep them accessible to all, because the whole point is it being, you know, the more the merrier, the bigger the support, etc. But these things do cost money, so
yeah, certainly.
We must get you back on the show again. It sounds like we could talk to you about 100 other subjects, but we're rapidly running out of time. So give out a date and time and a march, etc. once more before we finish.
Absolutely. So please, I insist every listener of Shout Out Radio to come and join us at the Cenotaph from 10:30 on the 28th of March. We will have our march in the morning, and then you can come join us in the Trinity Centre 12 until 4, either to meet different community souls or to be able to participate in our workshops on gender recognition reform, as well as reforming trans healthcare and looking at how we can do craftivism and how that can help change the world. Either come join our socials across various different venues, of which I can't remember all of them off the top of my head, between 4 and 7, run by different community groups.
I think they're mostly in Old Market, though.
Absolutely, yes. And then finally, join us from 7 p.m. in the Loco Club. We have an array of trans-led bands and DJs, all for the partying in the night. All of our information is available on our website, transpridebristol.org.uk.
Brilliant. Cool. Well, listen, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us about
Thanks so much for having me on.
We would definitely have you back again. But for now, though, the lovely Hafra and everybody. You're listening to Shoutout. Stay with us. We're back in a minute.
The Shoutout Podcast.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The lovely JJ there with Wasted Love, which is the winner from last year's Eurovision. Are you noticing a song. Theme here?
Yeah. So, yes. I am noticing.
Yes, it's still a few
incredible
weeks away, but.
Voices is what I'm noticing.
Yes.
Yeah. An amazing, unique talent. JJ really was phenomenal and is phenomenal. I've listened to JJ's music quite a lot since then. It's my kind of jam.
Your kind of jam?
Yeah. Yeah, I listen to musicals the most, then a bit of Styles. And then a bit of Eurovision or Daldi Freyr, specifically the Icelandic pop style. But yeah, there's been loads over the years, and they are, you know, truly talented people, and that's why I enjoy listening. I like variety. I like to hear new things, which is one of the great things about that. You know, that's what I think anyway. About Eurovision,
although of course,
politically, it's very, very difficult. People can make their choices, but without me sort of discussing that, if I just think about the music, it is a way where these artists get their music heard. If I think about over the many years of Eurovision,
it would be a shame, wouldn't it, if the political situation in the Middle East did overshadow something which was set up to celebrate peace in Europe in the 1950s, as I know Andy has said on the air before.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll carry on, and as we go through it and come out the other side, it can also be that voice for hope and unity.
Yeah,
well,
hope and
which
unity,
is what they've
definitely.
Always,
unity through music.
Pushed. I don't envy the people running it having to decide whether they do or no. or don't go in.
I couldn't ever work in the industry anyway, I don't think. Well, no. I've just been like generally the media industry.
You'd be on that stage.
It would just
stress me. You'd be up there singing your heart out.
And on stage, but not the behind the stage. That's where I think, you know, I mean, that's a different type of work that I am not cut out for. You're like, I'm good in a panic, but afterwards not so great. So yeah, that's not for me. Whereas you're very good, aren't you, under that sort of pressure? So are you, actually, Andy. Can't see who I'm looking at there.
What, the behind-the-scenes stuff?
Yeah, well, you're just good at sort of doing the stuff that needs to be done. So if there's any issues on air, you know, like for example, when we do Pride, you both of you act very quickly. You all do as well, Arby, of course.
Oh, but I don't... Pride's just a bit of a whirlwind, to be fair.
I mean, yeah, I just run around and have fun. And then sit down and do an interview and then run off again. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend I'm there all day.
No, we did. I remember in the early days when we were broadcasting from Pride, we tried to make it very, like we do with the show. I mean, listeners won't see it, but the show is very scripted. We know to the second what's supposed to be happening at any one point and whether we're over or under running. The problem is when you're there with a live stage that is running itself and you have no control and you don't have the feedback that something's running late because someone's makeup didn't go on right or they're insisting on having a glass of water before they go on stage. These are all things that generally happen. Yeah, gin, that was another one.
Sorry.
To be honest, that's just you,
though. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I have to have my makeup right before we go on there. I mean, come on.
No, I did your eyeliner last year and it was perfect.
Guyliner, please.
Guyliner, yeah.
So, but yeah, we will be live again this year, and hopefully some more coming over the next few years as well.
Hope so.
Which will be good. Yeah. No, I don't just mean Bristol Pride. I mean other ones too.
Oh, other prides. Yeah. We've got Jace Don this year.
We have, we got Entrance as well. What's her name? Remember Set You Free? That song?
Yeah. And my mind's gone blank. Sorry.
It's Kelly something or other, isn't it? I'm sure. Anyway, it's up on the thing. I literally saw it before I flew in here. So, but yeah, looking forward to her. I loved her music all the way through.
Do you think we'll be able to wangle an interview with Jason Donovan?
Oh, I'd be surprised.
If you mean Jace Don, then absolutely. The Don that is Jace, that was Kylie Minogue's other arm.
Love interest. In real life as well,
Scott
wasn't
and Charlene, wasn't it?
Yes, Scott and Charlene. Yeah, I was a big, big fan. Oh gosh. I've just realised the time.
End of the show.
That's it for this week. If you have an event or a story, or perhaps you'd even like to get involved in LGBT plus radio with us here at Shoutout, do check us out online and get in touch. We would love to hear from you.
We would indeed. Plus, all our shows are available on podcasts, all good services, as well as our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
As we've been saying, next week we're talking to Bristol Pride, I think, aren't we? Hopefully.
We
fingers
are.
Fingers crossed. So yes. We'll find out more about it. From me and the rest of the team, though, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.